Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about 2020. And as I sit here preparing what I want to say, trying to think of what's worth saying at a time like this, it occurs to me that the year 2020 has been the kind of year that really is worth a year in review, but how to review a year like 2020? How can we possibly summarize this last trip around the sun? What can we say that's worth saying? It was a year of polarization. It was a year of disruption. It was a year in which the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. It was a year of impeachment and riots. It was a year of locking down the law-abiding and letting terrorists roam free. It was a year of incomprehensible government debt and massive profits for some. It was a year that divided the country, divided families, and divided the church. People went to jail for not wearing masks, and people who murdered police went free and were applauded for fighting for justice. It was a year where people chanted both silence is violence and no justice, no peace. How can we sum up 2020? I think the Bible has something to say about summing up 2020. In Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, we read this. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Notice that expression in particular, that the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Simeon, the man who was ready to die now that he's seen the baby Jesus because he's seen his salvation in the person of Messiah, said that the Savior of Israel was going to create a divergent reaction with disparate responses. People were going to have different results because of the coming of Jesus. Some will rise and some will fall. Indeed, Jesus coming into the world was the great crisis moment of history. From this point on, there is no turning back. When Jesus came, history began to move inexorably towards a series of great conclusions that would and will completely alter life on this planet. In these days of the Lord Jesus would reveal the bared arm of the Lord and change everything, and change it in such a way that there's no going back. And from the moment of his birth, the program of the kingdom of God has rolled on through the last two millennia like a juggernaut, rolling over empires, driving through plagues, smashing opposition, raising the valleys, and tearing down mountains. And in these 2,000 years, one thing has been clear: the thoughts of many hearts have been revealed. As we move closer and closer to the rapture of the church, we see that little by little, every time there's a great crisis event, the world demonstrates how the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. And that means good and bad. It means that all things are becoming more like themselves. It means that sin is becoming more clearly sinful and holiness is becoming more clearly holy. When there's peace and prosperity, when the world isn't involved in some great sifting, it's easy to think that all things continue as they always have, that everything's the same, that nothing changes. But when the world is in turmoil, when the fires of the crucible are lighted, when the hammer rains down on the anvil, and God takes up his strange work of judging sin and perfecting his church, we see that the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. Because that's what interesting times are, friends. Interesting times are when God chooses to judge the world and purify his church. And this has happened over and over throughout history, and we always see the same thing. Sinners become worse, and saints become better. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you notice the words of Paul that evil men would go from bad to worse? On top of everything in this passage, we see this pattern that in times of crisis, evil men get eviler. Let's turn to Revelation, specifically chapter 9. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came from their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Here in Revelation 9, we see a theme that actually exists throughout the entire book of Revelation. This is just one place, but throughout the entire book of Revelation, we can see this pattern that evil men refuse to repent, and they continue to grow even more wicked. And in the entire Bible, we see that God's judgment only seems to make sinners more sinful. As the old saying goes, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. Let me make this abundantly plain in case somehow, in some way, I haven't made my point abundantly plain already. Crisis events reveal the hearts of people, and the way that their hearts are revealed is through their behavior. Great crisis and great crises make sinners more sinful and saints more saintly. That's just how it works. So what does that mean for us in America in 2021? Now, I'm not talking about 2020 right now. We know what 2020 was all about. 2020 was about the thoughts of our hearts being revealed. And we know what was revealed. But what about 2021? Now, I'm not a prophet or a prophet's son. I have no special word from God, at least no specialer word than anybody else has. But from what we've seen in 2020, and in the years previous, by the way, I would expect that 2021 is going to be another interesting year. And I do mean interesting in the sense of the Chinese proverb. We're living in interesting times, and there is the sense that things are coming to a head. When will things go completely off the rails? I don't know. I know they will someday, because God has said they will, but I don't know when that will be. But it certainly feels as though we're moving in that direction. And I believe that unless there is a great movement of the Spirit upon this nation, we are moving towards a point of no return. Again, I'm not a prophet. I'm not reading tea leaves. I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading my newspaper. And I'm saying that from what I'm reading in the newspaper, we're headed towards something bad. Now, I'm not saying that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. I don't believe that this is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. But I do believe that the events of the world today demonstrate the truth of the Scriptures, which teach us plainly and certainly that great judgments of God cause people to reveal their character and they become more like what they already are. And I think that what we're seeing in this world, particularly in our country, is the playing out of the old proverb that I've come to take as axiomatically true. And it goes like this: the people who run the world are either idiots who don't know any better or evil people who do. This country seems to be moving in the direction of self-destruction and chaos, and it's hard to tell sometimes if people are evil and know they're destroying everything or if they're just useful idiots. And that question is a pretty important one for politics and how we organize society, but not a particularly important question for our purposes today, because in the end, it doesn't matter if you're knowingly evil or if you're just a useful idiot. The end result is the same. Your heart is revealed as corrupt, and the nation is led into chaos. And it's the coalescence of the godless, the corrupt and the incompetent, that allow an entire nation to run off the rails. And as things get worse and worse, expect that our nation's leaders are only going to grow worse and worse. Our leaders reflect us. And as our nation grows increasingly godless and foolish, expect our leaders to grow increasingly godless and foolish. As we stupidly seek satisfaction in sin, expect our leaders to stupidly seek satisfaction in sin. Because part of the judgment of God is giving us the leaders we deserve. In fact, letting us give ourselves the leaders we deserve. Romans chapter 1 says this, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way also, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them." That's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the wrath of God being revealed. Our hearts are being revealed, and there are many rising and falling in this country. God is giving us over to our own corruption. People wonder why our leaders can be so stupid that they think we can spend our way out of debt and boys can be girls. People wonder how we can be that stupid, and it is stupid. People wonder how we can have our leaders scream and throw tantrums about not letting people illegally enter our country, but they murder babies as they enter the world. And we wonder how can they be so stupid, and it is stupid. We wonder how our government and media can lie to our faces, bald-faced, deliberate, demonstrable lies, and think, how can they be so stupid? And it is stupid. How can our country be led by such fools who do such stupid things? Well, because God is, and he's letting us get what we deserve, and we're getting it. He's letting us give ourselves what we deserve. Our country is getting exactly what we deserve. We deserve wicked, foolish rulers who do stupid things. And they will continue to only become wickeder and stupider. But the church, I believe the church in America is going to have one of its finest moments. This may be the last stand of the church in America. This may be our Thermopylae. This may be when our silver shines the brightest. This may be the church at its holiest. And maybe if it is, the lost can be saved, righteousness can prevail, and the republic can be preserved. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet's son. I don't know if there's going to be revival in this country, or I don't know if the church even is. I believe the church will be. I hope. I pray the church will be. I hope that the refining fire of the nation going down the tubes is going to preserve the church and purify the church. I think it will, but it might not. We may see a great nationwide revival, or we mightn't. But either way, whether revival will happen or not, it is our only chance. Now and on into eternity. The revival of the church in America is our only hope. So let's give our nation a chance. Let's let the thoughts of our hearts be revealed. And let us help the American church experience her finest hour. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you. and may God bless your day to his glory.